Okay. Shalom Aleichem to everyone. It was very heartwarming to receive the number of emails that I did from many of you girls who expressed your feelings about the Patira of my Rebbe, Reb Shlomo Lei, Ben Reb Moshe Yitzchak, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose Shloshim is tonight. And many of you asked to hear Divrei Zikaron, something, Leilu Nishmasai, and very happy to be able to acquiesce to this request. And the truth is, so what's my yachas to be able to talk to you about Rabbi Brevda? Who am I to talk about such a gain and a tzaddik and a gadol, someone really from the last generation, who's really a link to the gedolim of the last generation? But being the fact that perhaps I introduced most of you to him or to his Torah, that's my yachas to be able to talk about him. Many times I would tell Rabbi Brevda Zichrono Livracha that different things I would say over in class, in different classes, whether it was in Yavna, whether it was in Maimonides, whether it was in Shul, but especially he knew that I taught girls, and he knew seminary age, and he used to always tell me, I used to tell him over different things. Sometimes he would say that I'm very brave for saying that over. And very often he would say that you girls are very lucky that every so often, if I say something from him, that you're zoicha to hear a dvar emes. And that's really what made Rabbi Brevda who he was. He was emes. Everything about him was emes. And because of that, his shiurim did not pack the audience, so to speak. And he had less fans than more fans, because his mahalach was emes, and he told things the way they were, and he said them out very clearly. And very often hearing the emes is a very hard thing for people, and he didn't shtarzach, he didn't care if he's going against the norm. That's his job, was to say what the emes is. And very often he was very sharp, and he really dug into a lot of things that perhaps are very dear or very normal for our lives, and it was very hard for people to hear. I saw somewhere written up, someone said they came to the conclusion that when you finished a shmooze from Rabbi Brevda, you didn't feel like, as he said, very warm and fuzzy when you were done, like many other shmoozes people walk away from and they feel all good. If you walked away a lot of times to Rabbi Brevda shmoozim, the only reason you came back is because you're really coming back for more abuse, so to speak. Why? Because you really knew when the emes hits you straight in the face, and you know that that's the real thing, that's the only reason why you're coming back to hear more of it. Now the truth is, Rav Revda was a Talmud of Rav Chatzkel Levenstein Zichrono Livracha, and Rav Chatzkel, besides standing for emes in his generation, Rav Chatzkel was very, very sharp, and he was very demanding of his Talmidim and of people. And in one of the Hespedim and Rabbi Brevda, a couple weeks ago, Rav Lezer Ginsberg Shlita, who is Rav Chatzkel's grandson, spoke, and he said Rav Chatzkel wouldn't be able to be in our generation. He wouldn't be able to even give mussar in our generation. Rav Chatzkel lived in Bnei Brak, Rav Ginsberg said, it would be 100 degrees. There wasn't a havamina of ever having air conditioning. If someone wanted a 3-bedroom apartment because they had 14 kids, Reb Chatzkel would ask them, what's wrong with 2 bedrooms? Reb Chatzkel, he said, wouldn't be able to handle the gashmias of our dar. But his Talmud, Reb Shlomo Brevda, was watered down Reb Chatzkel a little to get the same messages through to the generation. He said the same ideas, but it was on a level that perhaps was able to be more related to. Now, I'm not comparing the yachas between Rebbe Brevda and Rebbe Chatzkel to myself and Rebbe Brevda, but when I tried to give over the Torah, there are many people perhaps who would listen to his tapes or listen to Shiurim, and they said this is just not for me, because there was a lot of cynicism in Olam Hazeh. He laughed at Olam Hazeh. He laughed at Gashmias. He made fun of it like it was Avodah Zarah, and sometimes it really went into the kishkes of every single person who heard it. And people, unfortunately, maybe because they knew it was really true, they couldn't handle it. And I'm not out to be Rabbi Brevda, and I don't live like Rabbi Brevda, and therefore there was no way I could really say over his Torah the exact way he said it, because that would be a big fake, because I don't laugh at Gashmias like he did, and I'm not him. But I tried to give over at least the Yesoidos. Every once in a while I would say, you know, one of his cynicisms was said over as a joke and everyone would laugh, but it wasn't in the same charfkai. When he said it, it was serious. I just said it to bring home the idea. For example, like you probably heard me say a number of times, that when they have those commercials at the end of the radio commercials, when they give you all the disclosures and all the exceptions and they rattle it off a mile a minute, he always used to say that, you know, that's legally binding, and we better hope it's legally binding, because more often than not, that's how our Asher Yotzer sounds like, also a mile a minute. And things like that. But the reason you went to Rabbi Brev the Shmuzim, and what he did for me, you had to be able to be willing to hear. And not just be willing to hear, you really had to be willing to change. Because he told it to you so straight in the face, and so obvious, and so true, that you really had to be willing to change. If not, there was no reason for you to come back to the next week's shmooze. It wasn't Megaya. And that's really what he did for me. When I was, so to speak, introduced to Shmuzim a number of years back by one of my chaverim, it started off first with the tapes. My personal shaykhis came later to him. And it just opened up a new world for me. A new world that I tried to pass on to my students, to the people in my shul, in my speeches, wherever I go, whether I always say it bishmai, whether I don't say it bishmai, everything is tainted by what he taught me and what I learned personally from him and from the shmuzim. He changed my entire life, my attitude to Yiddishkeit, my attitude to emes, emuna, ruchnius, things that, it's not like I never heard them before, perhaps, Baruch Hashem, I went to very fine yeshivas with Gedolei Hador as Rosh HaYeshiva, but the way he put it out so simply, his Koyach HaHesber, his way of explaining things, and he was a master storyteller. To hear him tell the story of Kriyas Yamsuf, to hear him tell the story of Kairach, to hear him tell the story of Purim, any story he said up in Midrash Chazal was a masterpiece. And he made such complex issues so simple, but not just simple. He made them lamaisa, and that's something I think you all probably have seen in my own shmuzim, and I didn't get it from him, but it for sure became much more real and much more actual and much more lamaisa after my Shaykh Rebbe Brevda. And what could we do lamaisa? How could we change? And how can we be mechazik in emunah and brachas and tefillah and everything you've heard me say so many times? And that's one thing. Another thing that was about him was he said, you know, there's an idea called guest speakers. Guest speakers is a ma'isa sotad. Why? When you have a different speaker every week, so you know you hear it. It goes one ear in, one ear goes out the other ear. When you have the same rebbe, the same speaker week after week or month after month, and you hear the same things over, it becomes ingrained in you. The things that I say over from him all the time are ingrained in me. Why? Because I heard them dozens of times. He would say the same shmooze year after year, Purim, the same shmooze. It wasn't really the same. If you listen, there was always a new chiddush, always a new knetch. But the yesoidos were the same over and over throughout the year, over and over and over and over again. All different parshias, all different things. And it becomes part and parcel of you. And that's why whenever I say over for mostly, I'll say, you heard me say this a dozen times, and we'll say it another dozen times, and so on and so forth. And that was his kayach. His kayach was to say the MS, be lamaisa, give something actual for a person to do. And he always said, he spoke to the generation. One of one of my friends, who the person who actually introduced me to the tapes of Rebbe Drevda and the Shmuzim, which I told him after the Petir, I said, you don't understand how much Torah and how many people were affected because you gave me that first tape. Not only me, but all of my students and anyone who listens to anything I say, they're people, and always this Torah, Rebbe Drevda, you don't even realize how many Talmidos and Talmidim you have. And I forget if Rebbe could find it, but he told me, oh, that's a guy named Mishlei who says such a thing. When you say Rebbe Torah, and then it gets said over by other people, and you don't even realize all those chusim. And really, it's a chus for him, and it's a chus really for us to be able to hear his Torah. So this friend told me that he remembers when he came to Los Angeles many years ago. So he wanted Rebbe Drevda to say the following thing. Rebbe Drevda was saying, it was a Friday night, like by an Einik Shabbos, and Rebbe Drevda said, how do you give Musar in this generation? This generation, we're down in a pit full of mud. So how do you give Musar to someone? How do you take care of someone who's in a pit, deep down in a pit? So there's two ways to do it. Some people, they stand above the pit, and they just talk over it. They talk over it. So the person down there catches a few of the words, but nothing really helps. That's how some people give Musar. They talk very lofty things. Some people, they'll get down into the pit and get muddy along with the person. Question is if they'll get out of the pit, or they'll be stuck there as well. It's also a very not good thing to do, get down in the pit, down and dirty, with the people you're trying to give Musar to. So the only Eitzah is to lower down a rope into that pit, and slowly but surely pull the person up. And that's what he was. He was a man, he was a Gadol Hadar. He was a Talmid of Reb Chatzkel. The Chazanish loved him. The Priskarov loved him. The Gedolim loved him. He was a Masmid. There's nothing to describe. He was a person really from the last generation. A person who knew so much Torah. A person who was so Iskarbet on himself. And yet, he gave Shmuzim in English. He gave Shmuzim in Yiddish. He gave Shmuzim in Lashon HaKodesh. Whoever would hear him, anyone from the age, a young age to the oldest age, was able to walk away from his shmooze with something tangible. From the biggest landin, from the biggest Talmud Chacham, to the simplest of person, to the girls, to the women, to the young Bachrim, wherever he went, he knew what to say to them, and everyone was able to take something out of it. And that was his kayach. And he was mila them, and he pulled them up. And that was what he did. And he gave something practical. He gave something to hold on to, and something to steig, and then slowly but surely he raised the person up, and that was his kayach. Now, that's the first reason, the first yachas I have to talk to you, but I have another yachas, another reason why I'm able to say over something from him, Divrei Zikaron, and that is because I think I called him my Rebbe, he called me a Yidid. But the truth is, I sort of got my stamp of approval for myself when I told this over to Rav Moshe Tov Yalif, who I'm very, very close with, also one of my Rabbeim, who was Maspid, Rabbi Brevda in New York. When he heard this, he said, so how come you're not in New York being Maspidim? Why am I being Maspidim? And I said as follows, when I flew into New York right before Pesach, a week and a half before Pesach, he had just been rushed the first time to Sloan Kettering. They found the machla that at the end that he was very seriously ill. And I flew in and I spent a couple hours in Sloan Kettering with him. And as I walked in, and I said, Shalom Aleichem, etc. and etc. So his daughter had just flown in from Eretz Yisrael that day, that morning. And he turns to his daughter, and he said, don't remember what her first name was, but her name is Rebbetzin Altuski. And he said, this is Reb David. Reb David sits in Cleveland, and he says over my Torah more than anybody else in the entire world. That was so a little stamp of approval, and he knew that I always said over the Torah. He was working on Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalet. It's all the family's going to put it out, and he told me when you're going to get this, you'll have so much to say. Ad bias goyel, you'll have so much Torah to say over. And he took pride that I said over his Torah, and he always wanted it. Every time I spoke to him, I would say, "We're saying over the Torah. It's going to be a schus for Refuah Shleima, and now it's a schus leili mishmasai." And I'll tell you, I've heard the maspidim and the goyim who were maspidim. And I heard someone in Eretz Yisrael who was Maspid, who was very close to them, also a Talmud of Reb Chatzkel. And this was a person who has a yeshiva And he used to say, Reb Brevda loved his yeshiva. Because all the yeshivas, they want Reb Brevda to speak during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. We were the only yeshiva, he said, that we wanted him to speak on Erev Yom Kippur. And he spoke Erev Yom Kippur 2 hours. And Reb Brevda used to say, the only yeshiva that wants me to speak to them Erev Yom Kippur. And but at the end of the hesped, the person said, you know, I have this svarim. Could I say I learned that much? I don't know, I didn't learn that much. So I took one out, we'll say over some of his Torah, you know, that I found Leila Nishmasa, and he starts saying over different things. And even then I realized, and I'm blaming the Shiva to have what to do, but I found him as the Makar of the Torah that I'm gonna give over, I'm gonna find there. And the svarim for me were just, so to speak, like the notes of things that I heard from him. And many times he told me things on the phone later on. I found it in Shir HaShirim somewhere. And it just reminded me, because the Svarim don't do justice to the Shmuzim that he said, to the way he explained. And I'll tell you, many people, because of things I said over, started listening to his tapes. I have a Chavrusa of mine, a Balabas, a Chashev of Balabas, over 250 tapes he already listened to. There's a website online, Revda.org, cost a little money, $3 a recording. There's 700 tapes there. There's a whole catalog. There's so much there. I used to get the Yiddish tapes mailed to me every single. I used to speak Matzah Shabbos. A friend, an acquaintance, a Talmud of his in New York, used to make a tape, send it to me in the mail. I had it Wednesday. Now we listen to them, and girls used to listen to the tapes. And it's out there. He's still alive in that way. You could hear his Torah. 700 tapes. Some of these tapes are shmuzim, are 2 hours long. There's what to hear, there's what to gain. But in this way, I think I have a yachas that I'm able to speak by saying over from his Torah, because like he said, I sit in Cleveland and I say over more than anyone in the entire world his Torah. And what did he teach us? And many of the things that I'm going to tell you now are just highlights, and many of them you may have heard and probably heard throughout my different classes that I've given, because they always come in to the classes. The first thing and the main thing, and his son brought this out by the Levaya, that he wanted to teach the world, was that there's something called the Ish HaNeshama. Every person has a neshama. We all know that. We say Alikai Neshama Shenasata be every morning. But do we live with the feeling that we have a neshama? Do we reckon up? Do we deal with our neshama? Do we take it into account? And he always used to say over the smag, Sefer Mitzvah Gadol, one of the Rishonim, who says, and he goes through the Bria Shemayim Varetz, and every day what was created, and he says basically, the Ravina Shalom has animals in the world that do the jobs of animals, and he has malachim in the world that do the jobs of malachim, and he created a person who is a mixture between a malach and an animal. If Hashem wanted us to live like animals, He didn't need to create Adam. He had animals in this world already, and they do a far better job, as we've said many times, than we do. Malachim, He has malachim to do a far better job. So what are we here for? We're here for this milchama, says the Smag. There's a constant war going on between the neshama and the guf. And the question is, who's going to win the war? Who's going to win the war? But the question is, do we know if there's a war going on? He used to say, do we know if there's a war going on? Or has our neshama already put up the white flag and that's it? He used to always talk about this inyan when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, usually after Sukkot. He had been there from before Yomim Noiraim, before Rosh Hashanah, till after Sukkot. And he always used to say in Eretz Yisrael, he's able to talk even sharper than he could talk in America. But he used to come back the first couple of weeks after he was back from Eretz Yisrael, we still got the Shirayim of that sharpness that he had in Eretz Yisrael. And he always used to talk about this. Do we know that there's a neshama? Do we deal with the neshama? And from that, he would say, and even if you don't win the battles, you have to know there's a battle going on. If you don't know there's a battle going on, then there's nothing. So if you think, if you don't realize and take your neshama into account, so the neshama, there's no fight. He used to say, I used to go on the subway with my wife, he used to say, and he would say, you look around at all the Puerto Ricans and whoever else is on the subway, and he would tell his Rebbetzin, he said, I don't know, these are people. I don't see, do you see the smags milchama going on in them? Do you see that they're having any milchama and their neshama and their guf? And his Rebbetzin used to say, I don't know what you're talking about. Who's looking at all these people? And he used to say in a joking way, I am, because I'm always looking for schaira to say in a shir, a good story. So But he would say that, do we look like them? Who runs our goof? Who runs our goof? And here he used to go in to the very touchy subject, and he used to tell me if I would ever say anything about it, which I have, and I've also gotten flack for it, so to speak. And he used to say, you're very brave. He says, I wouldn't say that over. But he used to say it over anyways. About taivas o'achila, the idea of not eating just because everything is kosher v'yosher, the concept of taivas o'achila, and it would be remiss if I would not say divrei zikaron without bringing that in. And he would talk about, is a person, he used to say as a joke, I got an email once from my stomach, and the email said as follows: I don't care if you learn Torah all day, I don't care if you shuckle 100 lulavim, I don't care if you make a 3-hour shmanasrei, no problems, but when it comes to me, the stomach, I'm in charge, you have nothing to do with it. And the idea of who's in, who do we, do we have any control over our taivas, of our goof? That's our goof talking. And he always used to give the eitzah of not taking seconds. Fill up your plate to the ceiling. It was the shmuzim where you could laugh at them. The stories used to say, he used to say it in such a funny oifen, how people used to come to him and tell him, why don't you do this? Why do you say that? The Sfarim say another eitzah, that if you're in the middle of eating something, geschmack, stop in the middle. And the Beis Yosef, the Magid told the Beis Yosef that eitzah, and he used to say, because I'm not the Malach and you're not the Beis Yosef, I speak to the generation. If you tell the generation you're in the middle of eating a geschmack ice cream, stop in the middle, they have to have a solo ambulance for every single meal anybody ever eats. I say, pile it up to the ceiling. Eat as much as, take as much as you want the first time. Don't take seconds. And it's a hard thing. Try to do it. It's a hard thing. Your goof wants you to do it. See if you're in control. And I used to tell him, I used to say, Rabbi, that I still take seconds, but I think twice beforehand. He goes, at least you know there's a mechama. If you had to think twice beforehand, you used to know, at least you know there's a mechama. And that was the concept of taivas o'achila, which is something nobody talks about. Where Baruch Hashem in a generation with abundance of food. And if it's kosher, why not eat it? But there is such a concept of taivas o'achila, and he used to talk about it, and that's the understanding that I could control myself. My neshama could control my taivas. My neshama is something. The second eitzah he used to give about controlling yourself is, he used to say, the first, you come into davening, the first 10 minutes, open up your siddur, put a watch next to your siddur. For 10 minutes, do not look out of your siddur. What may come, what passes by you, don't look out of the siddur. And that's how you learn how to control yourself. You learn how that your neshama, your seichel, controls yourself. And people used to say to him, but my heart's not in it. And he always used to say in a joking way, I'm not a heart specialist, I'm an eye specialist. I want your eyes there. Your heart will come eventually. And it's a meir dika eitzah, try it. Take the first 10 minutes of davening, don't look out of the siddur. Eventually it'll become longer. Your davening will be a different davening. But the ikur, it's just a simen, it's a way of control. And when you start controlling yourself, and I'm in charge, not my goof, not my taivas, not my stomach, whatever it is, it takes over your entire day. Your entire day becomes different. You become in charge. It moves on to your midos, it moves on to your kas, it moves on to everything, that you don't lose yourself, because I'm in charge. Of course, no one's perfect, but if you're not cognizant of the fact that you have a neshama and there's a mechama and things are going on, then there's no hope at all. He used to talk about, on the concept of Isha Neshama, he used to talk about a very famous Rabbeinu Yoina, that it says that when a person leaves the shul, he shouldn't take very big steps, he should go slowly. And Rabbeinu Yoina says, why? Because when you run away from something, you take big steps, it looks like you're going min ha-tayrach el ha-menucha, from something bothersome to something more comfortable. The hu hepech, it's the opposite. A shul is a base atfila, that's where you daven. Hi ha-menucha, that's a place of menucha. You should be happy there. So he said, what do you mean? Most people are running out of shul. They just got to do it. Why? Because a person's neshama, he enjoys the shul. The goof doesn't like the shul. You know why the goof doesn't like the shul? Because it's hard work. Try to be mechaven every bracha in Shemayin Esrei. It's very hard work. Because you have to pay attention. You can't talk when you want. You have to do this, you have to do that. The goof says, get me out of here. The person who runs out of the shul, you know what that means? That means he didn't have any feeling of his neshama. His guf was in charge, and the guf said, you know what? This is a tairach. I'm going to the menucha. The neshama is the opposite. The neshama loves the shul, the kedusha of the shul, connecting with the rabbeinu shel olam, going out into the world. That's a pain for the neshama. That's the tairach. So a person who's an isha neshama, the shul is the menucha for them. The shul is the place of menucha. That's where the neshama enjoys being. The person leaves the shul and runs away from the shul, that's because their guf is what's in charge of them. Their guf is dictating what they feel. And with this idea, he used to take it further. Chazal tell us, Kol Asaymech Geula L'Tvila. Anyone who says Goal Yisrael and then davens right afterwards, like we do, Geula T'Tvila, is a Ben Olam Haba. So I've said this other times also, that sounds like a very easy thing. We all do it every morning. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, and finish. Hashem, Svatai Tiftach, we start Shemen Esrei. Did anyone ever stop and think? He used to say, well, what's pshat in this? I mean, we all do it. So he says, no, you know, because we live in America, we live in the land of the free, and if it's free, we take it. We don't ask any questions. So if they tell us we do this, we get Olam Haba. We're not interested in the details. We'll take the Olam Haba. But Rabbeinu Yonah asks the question, and Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, Ka'asaymech Geula L'Tvila, what does that mean? Geula represents that a person, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? Ani Hashem lekeichem, asher teisi etzchem eretz Yisrael, yoyislochem lelikim. The famous Medrash tells us, and we said this other times as well, that it's a mashal to the ben oyhavoy of the king, the son of the friend of the king who got captured. And the king went to ransom him. And the king told him, sign on this document. I'm not ransoming you because you're the son of my friend. I'm ransoming you to me, my ever. And he signed it. On the way back into the city, the king told him, here, I'm going to the bathhouse now. Take my towel and my shoes and let's go. And he says, what do you mean? I'm nobility. My father is like best friends with you, the king. I'm not a servant. He says, really? Here, look what you signed on. You have two choices. Either my servant, I'll take you right back to the people who kidnapped you. It's your choice. Hashem didn't take us out of Mitzrayim because we are the children of Avram Ayavi, says the Medrash. Hashem took us out to be Avodim, to be His Avodim. An Eved is not a hired worker. A hired worker could go on strike. A hired worker could come late in the morning. He could take a sick day. He could take a mental health day. If his wife has a baby, he could skip the day. An Eved's not like that. An Eved, if he comes 10 minutes late the first day, he gets whipped. He comes 10 minutes late the second day, he gets put into solitary confinement with no food and water. And by the third day, if he comes late, they hang him. They don't care if he had a baby in the middle of the night. An hour later, he better be at work. That's an Eved. That's an Eved. We're Avadim. We're Avadim to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim to be my Avadim. You have two choices. Either my Avadim, or Pari has many friends. The Sancheirev and the Nebuchadnezzar, Rashi tells us, he has many friends. I'll find another friend of his that you could be a hostage there. Where do you want to be an Eved? And that's the Medrash says, by way, every hard mitzvah, by Ribbis and by Mishkolos, mitzvahs that are hard, it says, Am Hashem with Mitzrayim. Why does it say that, says the Medrash? Because when it's a hard mitzvah, and a person might say to himself, what, I can't do it, it's too hard, I have to earn a living, so I'm going to charge ribbis, says the Medrash, says the Pasuk, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Why did I take you out of Mitzrayim? To be my Eved. And Eved means you follow everything I say, whether it's hard or easy, it makes no difference, you have to follow me. Being an Eved of Hashem. An Eved does what he's supposed to do without any questions asked. He doesn't take a day off because he's not in the mood. If he does that, he gets whipped. We are Avdei Hashem. That's what we are. And therefore, a person who's Saimech Geula, he says the whole parsha of Geula is talking about the brachas, Mitzrayim Galtanu, etc. Means Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And a person thinks, why did Hashem take you out of Mitzrayim? To be an Eved. And then he goes and he davens, Ka'asemich Gula L'Tfila. Tfila is an act of Avdus. Ezehi Avoidah Shebelev, it's Avoidah Shebelev, Zui Tfila. Why is it Avdus? Because go be mechaven every word of 19 brachas of Shemen Esrei without losing your train of thought. That's avdus. It's not easy. It's very hard. It's much easier. I'm in the mood today. I'll say one bracha and gemarnu, or I'll skip everything. No. A person who goes and he understands geula, why I'm taken out of Mitzrayim, and then he does an act of avdus by davening correctly, that person's going to be a ben olam haba, because he understands his job in this world to be an eved Hashem. And that's something he brought out, and that was the whole idea of Pesach. Pesach, he has a sefer, Mardik, a sefer, Lel Shimurim. And Lel Shimurim, he told me the sefer that he uses the most, quote unquote, it's all his, when he wants to say things over, is Lel Shimurim. He puts so much in there, things that are not necessarily directly negat to Pesach, but they are in the same inyan, and he's bringing out this idea, I'm an Eved, so it's hard, that's my job, I'm an Eved of Hashem. He said, we used to say this, sometimes say this over by a bar mitzvah, and he once got a call, he told the child, you come in bar mitzvah now, you're now an Eved of Hashem. And the next day he gets a call from the father, and his father says, my son really took your shmooze to heart, because you know we finished the bar mitzvah until we finished cleaning up and everyone went home. It was like 1:30 in the morning until we got to bed, and you know, so you go to sleep 1:30 in the morning, what do? You go to a little later minyan in the morning. At 10 to 7 there's a knock on my door, ta, we're Avdei Hashem, we gotta get up. Avadim can't sleep late. He says, he took it to heart and he made me get up to go to davening. But that's what an Eved of Hashem is. When things are hard, when things aren't so easy to do, a person has to remember you're an Eved of Hashem. An Eved of Hashem, that means even though my body tells me, an Eved is not a balabas on his body. He does what the master tells him to do. And what the Torah, what my neshama, what my seichel tell me to do, that's the job of an Eved of Hashem. And that's why Pesach, and I go through a couple of the Yom Tovim here, and ideas he brought out. Pesach, one of the big ideas was Hakaras HaTov, because a guf doesn't want to give Hakaras HaTov. A guf lives with the motto, Shali, Shali, V'Shalach Shali, everything is coming to me. That's like the Goyim live like that. That's how animals live. Like the Medrash says, like a Kelev that keeps on saying, Hav, Hav, give me, just give me more, that's all I want, more, more. A neshama lives like the Medrash says, like the Mishnah and Ovah says, that Shali Shalach V'Shalach Shalach, I want to give to you, I want to give more, I want to give more. And if you gave me something, I want to reciprocate with Hakaras HaTov. It's not coming to me. Everything you give me is extra. And on that note, he used to go through, and this is in Lel Shimurim, and you can listen to this, he has tapes on it, and even on my website, in my Melachim Shurim, there's two classes that I gave. We did the Lel Shimurim inside, the story of Elisha and the Shunamis, which is the Aftarim Parshas Vayera. He was the master of this story. He was the master. It's kedai to listen to the original, because the way he said it over, how the two greatest examples, the epitome of Hakaras HaTov, Elisha and the Shunamis, were fighting out with each other who could have more Hakaras HaTov. It's unbelievable. It takes the whole Elisha. I remember the first time I heard that, I was going out of my Caleb from that shmooze, and it was told you, these are, he used to say, these are true Einiklach of Avraham Avinu, that they understand Shali is Shalach V'Shalach Shalach, that's the union of Hakaras HaTov. And when he used to always say over that the malachim, when Hashem created the world, the Chazal tell us that he created a group of malachim as advisors. And advisors, and he said, should I create the world? And obviously Hashem doesn't need advisors, but it's to teach us. He always used to say, don't do anything without asking advice. And he used to say that he heard from a ish tzaddik, who heard from another tzaddik, I don't recall him saying who these people were, and they said that it's not just because the person's going to give you an eitzah, it's a skula. It's a skula that when you ask and you speak over something with someone, things become clearer and you have siyata d'shmaya from it. It's a skula. So Hashem asked the Malachim, should I create mankind? So they said, what's a man? So Hashem said, the Gemara says, Hashem said, kach v'kach, this and that. The Rebbe says, oh, I wish I can hear how Hashem describes what a man is. What is a person? And the Malachim said, there's no chance for this person to succeed in the world. So Hashem says, you don't want me to make them? He burnt up the Malachim. Second group, he burnt them up as well. The third group said, listen, Rabbi Nishalaylam, you know, the first two groups, they said what they felt, and you burnt them up. You know, you do what you want. This is your world, do what you want. But fine. Chazal tell us that at certain times, what was the problem? What the Malachim couldn't understand? How is the Neshama ever going to become win over a Guf? How is the Seichel ever going to win over the Taivis? It's an impossibility. The Guf, this is his home territory here in Eilam Hazeh. How is the Neshama ever going to win? And the Rabbi Neshama said, and it says, the Malachim came to him by Dar Enosh and Dar Mabul, and they said, Rabbi Neshalaylam, Mo Enosh Kesiz Kerenu, what's going on? Were we right? Hashem says, have patience, I'm going to show you things. And at certain key times in history, when someone excelled at the Neshama winning over the Guf, for example, by Kriyas Yamsuf, and that his Kriyas Yamsuf, how he would describe it, oh, it was unbelievable. Yoinosi b'chagvei asela, I've said this over also, how Klai Yisrael was surrounded, and Hashem said, Harini es marayich, I want you to show me one more act of emunah. And then once you come out of the yam, you were surrounded on all four sides, the fear of death, and then you went into the yamsuf, and you had Gan Eden, and you came out of the yamsuf, and then Hashem spit out the mitzriim, and you saw Yisuri Gehenim there, and then it spit out all the gold and silver. The emotional turmoil was crazy. And Hashem says, now I want you to say a shira, Ashmini es kailech. I want to hear a shira with Ruach HaKadosh. I want you to get together, get your emotions together, let your seichel take over. Says the Medrash that Hashem called those malachim, those original malachim, and he said, look what's going on, Re'u Briya Shabarasi. This is what I meant. And there's another story with Shaul HaMelech. The Medrash says that Hashem called the malachim also. Shaul, he knew he was going with his sons to war to die after the whole story when he spoke to Shmuel Hanavi, and he told him he's going to die tomorrow in the war, and it says he went and he didn't care, and he understood this is his job, and his body didn't say go save your children, go save yourself. It says that Hashem called the Malachim and said, look, Rubriya Shabarasi, this is what I meant, this is the mankind that I meant. And he used to say, there's a Medrash that says Lel Seder, Hashem calls the Malachim and says, look at Klal Yisrael, because the Midah of Akaras HaTayim is the Midah of the Neshama. And he calls the Malachim, look, this is the people that I meant. This is the people that I meant when I created Ru Briya Shabarasi. This was being an Eved of Hashem, Chizuk and Tefillah. We talk later on about the Chet HaEgel. We mentioned this many times also. The Chet HaEgel as it led into Elul, into the Luchos Shniyos, into the Yom Kippur, etc. and etc. We talked about the Chet HaEgel and what was the Chet HaEgel, why did it come? And he always used to say, because we find the Gra tells us that Klal Yisrael wasn't the Chizuk. They may have been learning Torah and being Mekayim Mitzvahs, but it was Berifyoin, it was weak, it was Mitzvah Anashim Ulamada, it was by rote, it wasn't Bechizuk. Arba Dvarim Tzrichim Chizuk. Certain things Chazal tell us always need Chizuk. Torah, Ma'asim Tovim, Tfila, Derech Eretz, they always need Chizuk. Rashi says Tamid v'chal koyche, a person always has to try to be mechazik himself constantly with all of his koyach, with all of his power, and this is what he lived by. Chizuk, chizuk, chizuk. There's no such thing as mitzvah sanashim ulamada. Rabbi Yitzchak Mizrachi in Eretz Yisrael, the Mir Rosh Hashiva, said in the hespit for him by the Levaya, he said that I brevda, there wasn't a piece of mitzvah sanashim, an iota of mitzvah sanashim ulamadanim. Everything was done with the cheshbon. Everything was done with chizuk. Obviously, it took years of work. He wasn't born this way. He was born in America. He grew up in America, but he became a changed person. And everything was be mechazik. And that's the way you shtag. It's constantly looking. How could I improve? Am I doing it the best that I could do, or could I do better? Have I slipped a little bit? Make a cheshbon on nefesh. Be mechazik yourself. And that's why when it came to the luchos shniyos, as he always says, I'm looking for the Medrash that says V'satan Heichan Haya. Why didn't the Satan start up with the Luchos Shniyos? He couldn't start up because it was the Chizuk. Klal Yisrael 40 days in Elul, like we've said many times in those Shmuzim about Elul, that Klal Yisrael sat and were mechazik in Torah and Tefillah and Tshuva. They were mechazik not to serve Avodah Zarah, etc. and etc. When there's Chizuk, there's Siyata Dishmaya, like the Mesillas Yesharim says. Mesillas Yesharim says at the end of the first paragraph by the Hebrews over there, the Mesillas Yesharim says that Yemalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizro Yetzirah starts off with a person every day, and if not for Hashem helping him, there's no way he could overcome it. But who does Hashem help? The people who help themselves. If a person is mischazik, Hashem gives him siyata d'shmaya. When a satan comes to a person who's bechizuk, he sees Hashem there, you know what he says? I'm off to the next house. I'm not interested in starting up with this person. That's what it was. That's what Ella was all about. Chizuk in tefillah, chizuk in tshuva, chizuk in kabbalas hatayron the luchay shniyos. Chanukah was also a masterpiece. Chanukah, talking about the nisim of Chanukah, the amunah of Chanukah, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva that says that if things are going good and a person weakens from learning, the Rabbanei Shalom takes it away from him, and then it's much harder. You have to be meiser nefesh. Shimon HaTzadik, Klal Yisrael was on the right madrega. He went out to he went out and he didn't even have to lift a finger against whoever came to the Romans who came to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. The Yevonim, he didn't have to lift a finger. Why? Because Klal Yisrael was on the highest madrega. When Klal Yisrael slipped later on, then the Kashmonaim had to be Moser Nefesh already. Once you slip, you can get out of it. But the Rabbanu Shalom says, if you don't want to do my mitzvahs when things are going good, I'm not going to let you do my mitzvahs. And that always led into the Ramban in Parshas Voi, that there's no teva by Klal Yisrael, ein la'adam chelek b'teiras Moshe, atchenam, until he believes that everything is kuloi nei shaloi kedarech ha-teva, ein teva mikra at all, there's no teva and mikra at all, ein berabim, ein miyachid, everything is, if you do the mitzvah through success, chas v'sholom the other way, and the same thing with the Ramban and Parshas Vayigash, the same idea, everything in the Torah is nes, and we always have to remember that, it's totally in who, what we do and how we do our avodas Hashem. Purim, we're coming up to Purim, so Purim was one of his things. The Sefer Kimu V'Kiblu opened up a new world. He always used to say, Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman says that without that Sefer, no one has a clue of what Purim's all about. And then when he printed the Sefer in English, The Miracles of Purim, that pamphlet, so many of you have read it. Those of you who are in my college classes were obligated to read it, but I don't think you had charata that you had to read it. And it opens up what Purim is. Purim is kulay tefillah. Anyone who doesn't come out with a chizuk and tefillah and the end of Purim has not experienced what a Purim is all about. The Amunah in Purim. The idea that you do tefillah before any hishtadlus. Like he always used to say, you have to do a hishtadlus, say a kapitel tilim. And he used to say the same thing every time. People ask me, which kapitel? Any kapitel is good. No, pick kuf chaf aleph, me'ayin yoga yezri, yezri me'im Hashem. But say the ishtadlus. Say the tefillah before the ishtadlus. Realize the emunah that you have, that this ishtadlus is something you have to do, but the success is not the ishtadlus. And that's the lesson of Purim. The success was not the ishtadlus. They weren't allowed to do ishtadlus. No one was allowed to do ishtadlus. That was the tikkun of the chet. Was tefillah. And he brings it out in such a beautiful way. It's masuk midrash, that sefer, the miracles of Purim. And all different places, he learned this from Eliezer Eved Avraham also, that the idea that he davened before he went to get the shidduch for Rivka, and he wasn't soymech on the shtar that he had, that Avraham Avinu gave everything over to Yitzchak. He was mispalo first. He taught us before every ishtadlus. Eliezer Avraham told us he later on he did the ishtadlus. He showed the star that Yitzchak has all of Avraham Avinu's money. He showed it to Lavan and Besuel. He made his ishtadlus, but the first thing he did was he davened before the ishtadlus. He davened to know what's the ikker. The ikker is the tefillah, not the ishtadlus. And that's something that he really ingrained into everyone. And he used to say that if you know the stories of the people who followed my advice and they said a kapitel tilim before they had to make a phone call or ishtadlus, he said, you'd make me into a rebbe if you would hear the miracles, the maisim that happens from it. And sometimes he would say different stories about people that happened. The unbelievable yeshuas and unbelievable siyat d'shmaya shalai kederach hateva from people who took this onto themselves. It's a hard thing. I've tried it myself. You don't remember to say it. You know why you don't remember? The Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to remember. The Satan doesn't want you to remember. It's part of the chizuk that's necessary. And the idea of brachas and tefillah, that constantly reinforcing the emunah on Hashem, that we have to say Kriya Shema twice a day, and we have to daven 19 brachas three times a day, and we have to say brachas throughout the day. This is all constant lessons and exercises in emunah, in living emunah. And every yontif is emunah, and every yontif midrabanan, Chanukah, Purim is all emunah. And why? Because the Chazal and the Torah understood that the Satan, what he wants from us, is no emunah. Say the bracha, say the Asher Yatzah, say the Bar Nefashis, don't think about what you're saying. It's a treasure. The Yetzer Hara knows that the brachas are a treasure in our hands. That if we take advantage of these brachas, we take advantage of the brachas, you know what we'll have? We'll overcome this Yetzer Hara. We'll overcome the Satan. And he doesn't want that. He knows that treasure. And then Vayitzer bringing out the idea of the Isha Neshama Tisha B'Av. He has a sefer called Yibane HaMikdash. Would he talk about how we have we're not Misaba. We're busy with the halachas, but there's no regesh, there's no feeling. And he always used to say it's very simple, because the more gashmius in a person, the less the ruchnius has, plays a role in him, based on a going in the beginning of Rus, and etc. and etc. And he would say, our dar is so full of gashmias that we don't even realize what's lacking in ruchnias, the aveid the ruchnias, that the Shechina really wants to be b'tachtoinim. Where is the main living place of the Shechina? The main living place is in this world, but it had to leave because the korban beis hamikdash. Do we feel that? Do we know Hashem is b'tzar? The idea of Shivisa Hashem L'Negdi Samid, the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that also is a masterpiece. The story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, I've said many times that story. The idea of what it brings out, and what we're supposed to learn from Kamsa Bar Kamsa, that even though it's been Adam L'Chaveri, but it was all a lack of Emunah, it showed how Klaiso in that generation, they might have been full of Torah and Mitzvahs, they were empty shells of Emunah, they were Kaifrim in the inside, and that's why the Churban was brought about. Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, you know, always used to say over there, Rabbeinu Tam, that says, this world is an Avei Hatzlois, it's an abode of mishaps, misfortunes. And the person, says Rabbeinu Tam, that if a person is ready for that and he lives with that, so he doesn't get thrown off when things don't go right. The last minute, you're leaving the house and something tears, chas v'shalom, and you can't get out, or your baby throws up on you, or whatever it is, you get stuck in traffic. Things that are not something always controllable. And a person could lose everything, lose their patience, and get all to tumult from it. But if a person realized this world is a place of mishaps, and if something didn't go wrong today, it's going to go wrong tomorrow, says Rabbeinu Tam. If it doesn't go wrong tomorrow, by the third day, for sure, it's going to go wrong. That's what this world's all about. And the test is how are you going to handle it? If you sit in traffic, do you become a nervous wreck? You say, this is what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from me. This is living with the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is Emunah. Do I say, what do I do when I'm stuck in traffic and maybe I should get off the exit, shouldn't? Do I say a kapitel tehillim first, or I'm already looking for etzes? Where's the kapitel tehillim? There's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. He can make everything go away. How do we live? And if he doesn't, that's because he wants me to control myself. He wants me to be calm. These are the ideas, different ideas. There's so much more to say. Go through parsha after parsha after parsha. But these are the ideas that he used to try to ingrain in us, and he still, through his tapes, are still ingraining in everyone this idea that we're here to grow. We're here to develop our neshama. We're here to be cognizant of our neshama. And how do you develop your neshama? It comes through your neshama being goyver over your taivas, being goyver over your guf. You being in control. And then, if you're in control, you become an Eved of Hashem. You become a true Eved of Hashem. And a true Eved of Hashem is Zoyche Tailam Habo, like we said before. These are some of the ideas, trying to go through the Amun Taivim a little bit, like I just did, and through different places. Again, there's so much more to say, and there's so many different inyanim that he used to talk about, but this was really who he was. Ish HaNeshama. He was a person who tried to bring that out, and he would give etzes, and they were simple etzes, saying, Kapitel Tillim, 10 minutes not looking out of your sitter, don't take seconds, that's a much harder etzah. But different things, just to be cognizant. He always used to say, you have to at least say lofty ideas to people, because if they don't know of these lofty ideas, then they don't go anywhere. Rav Chatzkel always used to say that if you take an arrow and you shoot it very high, it'll land on the ground, it'll land very far away. If you just shoot it very low, it lands right in front of you, it doesn't go anywhere. You have to open people's eyes to high madrigas. They may not get there, but that's the idea. Like I said before, lower a rope down into the hole and slowly lift them up. They look up, they see someone at the top of the hole, they see someone who they claim, I don't know if this is true, I saw this written somewhere, that someone looked at his handwriting, beautiful handwriting in Lashon Kodesh and in English, beautiful handwriting. Someone looked at his handwriting with his handwriting specialist, and they said, this person's a murderer, he killed his Yetzirah. Don't ask me how anyone knows that, I don't know exactly how you read handwriting, but that's what somebody said. That's who he was. He was a person, he ate very little, and he blamed it on the doctors, but he had no taiva for these things. He had no taiva for COVID. But as one of the maspidim, I think Rabbi Brudny's shlita, the Mir Rashiv, one of the Mir Rashiva said that we knew him as the finished product, but he wasn't that finished product his whole life. It was years and years of work, and that's what we could learn from him. That even he, who grew up in America and everything else, was able to shtag to be a gadol b'Yisrael the way he was. Someone who was miyuchad b'dayrit. There's no one in the entire world like him. No one who was like him in this generation, and no one who will be like him. No one who could talk like him. It's a different world. When Chazon Ish was nifted, the Biskarov said, we live in a different world. Yesterday was a world with the Chazon Ish, today's world without the Chazon Ish. And the same thing is true. We lived in a world, the last bastion of MS, someone who doesn't care. He's not looking for COVID. He's not looking for fans. He's not looking for anything but just to be ma'ir people with a piece of MS. And Baruch Hashem, I was Zaycha, and through me, I think you were Zaycha also, to hear some of these ideas. And I thank the Rabbi Nishalam for every moment of it. And the amount of lives, I'm sure there's many people out there, and I know there are hundreds and hundreds of people in Eretz Yisrael, in America, who didn't take a step without him. And he has Talmidim from 40 and 50 years, 50 years from when he was in America 50 years ago. And he has Talmidim 40 years ago when he was in London. These are Ga'ayne Ga'aynim, all Rosh Hashivas, Rosh Hakailim, Gedoilim. But there's just families who changed their entire lives because of his tapes, of his Shmuzim, of his Sfarim. People who are looking out for the MS. So many people at Tzibrachid, they don't realize, he wasn't a recognized gadol because Imamal got his picture in the paper. But he, like you said, he didn't get hundreds of people by his shmuzim, because people weren't coming to hear these types of things. They like to hear stories, they like to hear these things that maybe inspire them, maybe don't, but by the next day it's garnished, there's nothing practical to take with you. I remember I once said in shul, in Elul, an eighth of this eighth of not looking out of the sitter for 10 minutes, someone came over to me and says, for the last 25 years since I'm in yeshiva, nobody gave me a practical etzah, how to be mechazik in tefillah. Do this, do that, but a practical thing that's doable. 10 minutes, I could look in the sitter for 10 minutes. He tried it, it wasn't so easy. But after that, it changed his entire life. It changed his entire davening. 10 minutes turned into 20, to 30, to the entire davening. But a person has to go step by step, small steps, and that's what he gave us. And so many different ideas that he ingrained in us. And Bezus Hashem, hopefully, we're going to continue to say over his Torah, to learn his Torah. And now, it's a bit more scary for me, because when he sat in New York and I said his Torah, he didn't hear me saying it. But now, he's going to hear every word of Torah, and every word that we're going to say. Bishmai is going to be a li'ili for his neshama. Yishitake avalichta yigan eden. And he did so much, and he had so many yisurim at the end. Mamish yisurim neiroim. And still, all he wanted to do was write his Torah and learn Torah. I would call him up and I would hear him. He would have no kayach at all. In fact, the last time I spoke to him, Ba'arichos, was Shavuos time, and Imamish had no kayach to talk. and no kayach to talk. And usually what I would do is try to get him to talk and learning, because he became a different person. And he was mamish with no kayach. And all of a sudden I got him to talk and learning, and he started telling me about a new shtickle from Reb Chatzko. I think I might have done it in class even with some of you. A shtickle from Reb Chatzko about Maim Ben Har Sinai, and he's reading it to me, and he's telling me this, and he's telling me that. And I recently listened over, I recorded the phone call, and I listened over to it. And it was unbelievable, the change in him. And he said, here, I'm giving it to you, Reb David, you'll put it together. You'll know how to do, what to do with it. And he was always looking to learn. That's what it was. I was in, when I was in Eretz Yisrael in November, so my plan was, I was in Bnei Brak, I was Baruch Hashem by the Gedolim, Reb Chaim, and Leib, and all the Gedolim. I went to the Beis Olam, and my plan was, the Tachnit was, I was going to be in the afternoon in Bnei Brak, and I figured I'll be in the Beis Olam, in the Beis Olam in Bnei Brak in the afternoon. I'll call him from Reb Chatzko's cavern, the Chazanish's cavern, say a kapitel till him over the phone. It'll be morning in America in the hospital. But my son ended up, going early and I wasn't able to, but I called him from the way back and I told him we were in Mispalo, by Reb Chatzko's cavern, by the Chazanish's cavern. And that's still Baruch Hashem. I think that might have been, I'm trying to think, that might have been the last time I spoke to him. I spoke to him one time before I think that might have been the last time. But the arichas that I spoke to him was Shavuos time, and he was always had people chaylim on his mind and davening for his talmidim. He used to always say, I never say kedusha. I make a long Shemoneh Esrei, but most of my Shemoneh Esrei is at the end when I daven for my talmidim who are like my children. And so many people saw Yeshua used to write tefillahs for people and give people etzas. And I had my a close relative of mine who was sick with Yad HaMachla. And Baruch Hashem, with Nisim Gedolim, she had a Refuah Shleima, but he always was asking about her. How is she? How is she? Giving her brachas, etc. and etc. I'm one of hundreds, who knows how many people that were always on his mind. That's who he was. This is what he taught us. And Shmasa Tshuva B'Tzarachayim, it should be Aliyah for his Neshama. Tonight is the Shloshim, tomorrow is Hakamas Matzev, and Yerushalayim, and Haramanuchas, and Mechelkas Rabbanim. And the Torah, the Chizit that comes out, should be an Ilu for his neshama, and we should be zeicher that to be lahamav eslanetzach amoch Hashem dima me'al kopanim. The Rabbi Nishalom should bring an end to this galus. We should be zeicher to the gula shleima to tchias hameisim imherev yameinu. Amen.